Okay, Rabbis, we started earlier for actually a reason. I have to run off after this year. I just got a call. It's not early enough, which means that I'm going to be forced to stop 10 minutes earlier, so let's say like 10 to 10. And I was told that the Rebbe will still be waiting 15 minutes to delay his drosha after me. So we do the best we can. As we always start with some of the other teachings and, of course, words of Chochmah from Rabbeinu Yonah. So it's interesting that in Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Truman Peregimel, Rabbeinu Yonah discusses the understanding that there are two lavim, but the Torah basically exhorts a person to be Mikai Mitzvah Tzedakah, besides the Mitzvah Saseh, the positive commandment. But there are two prohibitions. The two prohibitions that basically motivate a person that he should be giving tzedakah. One of them is, do not harden your heart. Which basically means, don't harden your heart to have feeling for somebody else and share what you have with somebody else. That's one prohibition. Do not harden your heart. The second one is, do not close your hand. Do not be tight-fisted. Do not close your hand. And on the surface it would seem that basically these two prohibitions are basically trying to say the same thing. Do not harden your heart, but rather share. Do not close your fist, share. So the Yonah comes along and says, no, there's a different thing between these two prohibitions. Yeah, the end result is you should be sharing with somebody else what you have. But the idea that the Torah expresses it in these two ways, he says there's a difference. And he says the following, which means it's not enough. It's interesting that sometimes maybe we might give charity or give tzedakah, but we're giving it not because we really have compassion for the other person, but sometimes it's either to shake him off, you know, other guys, maybe he's bothering me too much, or maybe somebody's watching and it doesn't look right, you know, that I'm the only one not putting my hand into my wallet, and so on and so forth. The idea is, Lahosim Nafshen Midas of Zoris, the Torah wants that a Jewish person should remove any act of cruelty from within themselves. And instead he should be planting, he says, mercy, true loving kindness, and planted of pleasantness, as he says. And therefore the Pasuk says the following. It's very possible many times that a person opens his hand, but he says, and he gives the poor man, but it's not because of Rachmanis. There are other reasons. That's not good enough. Don't have a heavy heart. Don't have a hard heart. Sometimes you give, but you give with a heavy heart. So on the other hand, you gave, so you opened your hand. But it's not enough to open your hand if you don't really have compassion at the same time. So the Sa'amit Lavavcha means, in addition to opening your hand, Sikpoitz, as the Pasuk says, as Yotcha, but also the Sa'amit Lavavcha. Make sure that you don't have a heavy heart. Make sure that your heart is not hard, as the Pasuk says, because as the Pasuk is, as a matter of fact, sometimes you find Rishoyim also do sometimes acts of chesed, but Shlomo Melo says in Mishle, V'rachme Rishoyim Achzori, many times if you have mercy in the wrong place, it could really be, which is Achzori, it could really end up being cruelty. Therefore the Pasuk says, means to say is, do not harden your heart, which means in addition to really doing the right thing, but also it should be within your heart, really to feel the compassion for what you are doing. So that's one teaching we have here from Rabbi Yonah. Another very interesting thing is, there is a law in the Torah where the Torah says that a dayan or a judge should judge and say the right thing and should not take consideration either what other people might think. Or maybe you have two people in front of him, right, to adjudicate a case. One happens to be very rich, very prominent. The other has to be very poor and very unimportant person. But you judge the right way. In other words, if the poor person happens to be right, you say he's right. And in spite of the fact that the wealthy man might be a man of power, thereby you might be intimidated. The Pasuk says very clearly, Lesaguru mipnei ish, do not fear any man when it comes to judging. Because mishpat, judgment, belongs to Hashem, and Hashem tells you you have to judge the right way. Hashem makes the rules, and therefore you have to judge the right way. Do not fear any other human being, but rather you have to do the right thing. Now the simple understanding is, okay, listen, what can I do? You know, even though there might be a danger, right? There might be a danger, because if I give the rights, you know, to the other party, so the person that was wrong may come back to hurt me some way. But here the Pasuk says, "Lesagur mipnei ish." You have to really judge correctly. Rabbeinu Yonah says it goes much deeper. The prohibition of "Lesagur mipnei ish" means Not simply I'm telling you, you know, there might be danger and don't be afraid. But he only says, a Yid has to believe that if you say the right thing, Hashem will protect you from danger. That's what it means. So, not like the right, regular or common understanding is, you know, in spite of the fact that there might be danger, you know, don't worry about the danger. In other words, don't care about the danger. The danger might be there, but you, it's more than that. With the Torah telling us, have confidence that if you do the right thing and you judge the right way, then Hashem will protect you. That's how Rabbi Yonah explains, L'sagur mipneyish, k'amishtat l'lekim, because truly everything is in the hand of Hashem. So he says, his hanu bazad, the real kavan of the pasuk is, l'hamin, that a person has to believe, shloyikreinu nezek, we will not suffer any damage, mitzad mishpat atzedek. You will not suffer doing the right thing, judging righteously. K'moshamu rabbeseinu, because we have another rule that we are familiar with, shluchei mitzvah einem nezekim, people who are emissaries on the road of doing a mitzvah, they have a protection. They will not be hurt going, nor will they be hurt going back. And that's what the pasuk means, Kamishpat lelikimhu, which means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu watches over you, Shlo yevayachem nezek bisibosoi, that no damage or no harm should come your way. So this is a very interesting interpretation of Segura. It's not just telling you, you know, be oblivious to danger, but rather something to say is, you know what, judge the right way, and have the bitachon that in fact realize that Hashem will stand by your side to see that things turn out to be fine. Let's mention one more thing, so we'll move on, and that is, you know that anybody who's been by a wedding, a Jewish chasana, you know the custom is to break a glass, you know, under the chuppah. So the truth is, this is brought down the Shulchan Aruch, it says, Shoivim kois tachas chuppah, that we break a cup. We break a cup under the chuppah, and this is interesting. The common reason, the common understanding is the zikara, and he says the idea is Yerushalayim hakareva, to remember that things are not perfect, even though at the one hand you were celebrating, right? Great simcha, you know, a couple are getting married, but remember that we have no Beis Hamikdash, we're in exile, we're in Golus. Remember your shalim that is churned. As a matter of fact, many have a custom when they put on ashes, as you know that, and they also say, Im layalis your shalim, or simchosi, they mention various psukim. I still remember at the time of my simcha, but remember that there's something out there that still we're waiting for, Yeshua, that your shalim still is not built. So the idea, simple understanding, is to break the curse under the chuppah is that we should not forget your shalim at the time of our happiness, but let's remember the sad out there. Certainly Kodesh Baruch Hu is not yet happy. Kozman, the Beis HaMikdash is not built, and we still are in Golus. So we should always remember that at the time of our Simcha. So that's one of the reasons for breaking the cup. Why am I mentioning it? Because again, we're discussing various inyanim of Rabbeinu Yoyin over here. So Rabbeinu Yoyin really explained that there is a different reason. He does not say the reason because of Churban Beis HaMikdash. Remember, you know, the idea is the Churban of Yerushalayim and so on. He says the idea is that when you celebrate a wedding, and things might get really out of hand, in the sense is, as you see, certainly, you know, you go to weddings at large in the world out there, people, you know, become drunk or half drunk, and they shouldn't even be driving, as we know all the situation that comes and ensue from that. But that is not a Jewish simcha. Jewish simcha is not celebrated as a secular simcha. And therefore, we sort of break a cup, sort of like to blunt, in order to really to shock us in a certain sense, that we should have control at the simcha by breaking the glass, to recognize that what the simcha has to be in a way of controlled. Don't just take it all the way up to the top with no control and say no holds barred. The idea of breaking the glass is really to put perspective and to understand that this is not a secular simcha, this is really a moment of holiness, a moment of kedusha, and we have to conduct ourselves also in the way of kedusha. I should mention just one more. If we are talking about breaking the glass, we should mention what the Marsha says. And the Mashiach says, very interestingly, Mashiach first of all is of the opinion that the glass that is broken should be a choshev glass, an expensive glass. In other words, not the way we have today. And by the way, it doesn't mean what the Mashiach is saying is acceptable alochet necessarily, but the Mashiach's opinion is to have an expensive glass. So some people, want to make it easier for the chosen to break the light, they take a light bulb, they put it in like that. It goes very easy. Otherwise, there's like 4, 5, 6 attempts, you know. And everybody gives them advice, do it with the right foot, do it with the heel, do it this way, do it that, and the cup slips back and forth. Then the Mesatik Kedushin gets nervous, and the Kala gets nervous. Who knows what kind of a similis is, Menashemayim, you start to read and all kinds of superstitious things into it, you know. So they try to make it the easiest and the cheapest type of a glass as possible. The truth is, it is acceptable, but the Mashiach's opinion is the idea is to take an expensive glass, and glass basically is made out of ochor, it's made out of, right, out of dirt, out of sand, and when you break glass, really it's broken. Maybe back's totally broken. It's not like metal, but you weld it together again, you know, and you're just being able to, right, just to repair it. But glass is really like glass. The idea is man is also created the same way out of offer. Man is also created out of dust. And the same way that when you break a glass, it means that at the end of the glass, man also should be aware that one day his time will also come. And as a result of that, says the Masha, this again puts a person in perspective. Yes, it's a time, it's a chastan, it's a very, very happy time, but recognize you have responsibility to come along with it. You're not going to always be here on this world, so therefore now that you're getting married, make sure that you live your life in a proper way, because just like glass, when it's broken, it's finished. Glass is made from offer, you also made from offer. And just like glass, when it's broken, it's finished. Man will also come to a time when it's finished. So that's the idea, again, to arouse our perspective again and awareness of how one should conduct their lives when they're getting married and so on. So this is, you see, many different understandings, the idea of breaking the glass. What we're going to go now is, again, to move on. That is, we go to the Shaar Avodah. What we're doing now is Daf Chof Tes. Actually, we skipped a little paragraph from before. This is where you have, what we're doing is the continuation. Daf Chof Tes, you see in page Chof Tes, and it's at the bottom. It's Yud Ches, paragraph Yud Ches. You'll find the following. The Ben Yehuda goes on to tell us that Vizel Ma, he says, this is what Chazal have told us, that V'chol Ma'asecha Yerushem Shemayim. The idea is that all our dealings, whatever we do here in this world, should be for the sake of heaven, which means even secular things, even mundane things, things that we had many, many times discussed, things like eating and drinking, things that everybody has to do, whether you're Jewish or non-Jewish. But when a Jewish person does it, he does not do it the same way as a non-Jewish person would do it. Whatever you do, it says the Mishnah, Masechta Tesavos, that's the Mishnah, that V'chol Ma'asecha, all your ma'asim, all your dealings should be for the sake of heaven. And the famous Pasuk is, quotes the Pasuk in Mishlei, V'chol Du'achecha Da'eyu. Shlomo Melech says, in all your ways, Da'eyu, you should always be aware of Hashem. So whatever you're doing, be aware of Hashem. And V'hu Yeyashir Ochasecha. And Hashem will direct your paths. So he goes on to explain exactly what it means that whatever you do should be L'Shem Shemaim. He goes on very interesting, says Moshel, and it's a very, very insightful Moshel. And he goes the following, he says, whatever you're going to see in the Moshel, realize that the Nimshel, we are the Nimshel, that we are on the other side of the Moshel. And basically, we're going to also have to go through the situation that we find here in the Moshel. And it goes as follows. The Moshel, he said, to elucidate it, really to understand, when we say that everything you do should be L'Shem Shemaim, what does that mean? Whatever you do should be L'Shem Shemaim basically means is the following. It's a moshel to a melech shehevi poil bebeisei lazes malachtoi. It's a moshel to a king who hires a worker that he should do some work in the palace. Okay, it's fine. So here you have a king, he hires a worker that he's going to do work in the palace. V'hine ischar ha'pa'ula yidu al ha'melech. And of course, the king put plans to compensate him, it's obvious. Kama yitem bischar. The king already has plans, how much to give him for each, every act that he does, you know, whatever the worker will do and complete. Kama yitem bischar ko melocha melocha. For every work that he does, of course, there's going to be reward, there's going to be proper payment for it. The only thing is that rakshu menakim min aschar mashayechel v'yishta ha'poil v'mashayehen mebeis ha'melech. The only thing is, the king will take deductions for every food and drink. In other words, the king said, listen, sir, I'll pay for whatever you work, but anything that you take, you know, in the palace there's a lot of food all around, things going around, but whatever you take on the side, from the food, he says, and from the drink and so on, what any other benefits that you take, that will be deducted what the worker takes from the palace. So now, when a predetermined time comes, right, for completion of work, so what happens at the end of the day when everything is finished? So when the time, right, when the time of the completion of the work arrives, so now the king will calculate the work performed and he'll deduct the benefits that the person took on the side. He will deduct from the payment. So if that's the arrangement, okay, if that's the arrangement, he'll pay you handsomely. He'll pay you handsomely for any of the work that you do. But at the same time, any food and drink that you benefit, that you take, he says, that'll be deducted from your compensation. So now, if the worker happens to be someone who has a foresight, he's smart, he's wise. If the poel happens to be a chokom, means he's a wise worker. Yavin the Yaski Lachrisoi. He will have foresight to look ahead. He wants to make sure that at the end of the day he's not going to eat up more than he's going to be earning. He's going to have to make sure to that. And therefore, on the one hand, he's going to do all the work very faithfully, so he'll deserve the top reward, right, that one can get. So the Yasser Melech HaSamelech Adonov, he will do the work, the service, the king, his master, he'll do it Bamuna. He's going to do it very faithfully. The Choli Toysov. Every available moment that he's able to do it to a God and the Amayit, and at the same time he's going to keep the pleasure of food and drink to a bare minimum, what he needs. Of course he has to survive, he has to eat, so that will keep at a minimum only what he needs. The Amayit binyan achiloso ishtiyoso bishara nor saguf, and as we say, he'll keep the idea of food and drink and everything to a bare minimum, just enough to keep him physically fit, right, and emotionally sound to be able to perform his work, as he says. He will not be interested here to take just for the sake of pleasure, kim lahavri gufoi, only enough that he should be healthy, lekai mesnafsho, as we said, to be emotionally fit and sound, that he should be able, right, to perform the work for his master in the most effective manner. If he does it that way, so now at the end of the day he'll end up a winner. Because so now when he finishes his mission, right, he'll find that the master, matter of fact, will give him full reward. He's not going to charge him for the little bit that he took to eat for needs for survival. Melech understands, right, that you can't survive without eating and drinking. So if that's the way that he did not take advantage, but rather he did his work faithfully, and what he took from the palace basically is only what he really needs for necessity, and to keep himself emotionally sound, as we said also, it doesn't have to be go with a simsum godly, you know, exactly. But the idea is that his main purpose here is to serve the Melech and to be Mamayat. And the idea is to keep it a bare minimum, he says, any other pleasures. So if that's the situation, so then he's going to find out that the Melech will reward him handsomely, fully, and not only that, he'll be in good favor of the king, and who knows, in the further, he'll also have future jobs with the king, and he may even give an appointment to some higher position. The year will be Ohu v'nechbon if the Melech Adrenov, and he will be beloved, and he'll be cherished by the king, right? The year will Ohu v'nei beis ha'demonim, and in fact, he might become even a trusted member, you know, of the household, who have privileges coming and going. Okay, that's if the worker deals wisely. He works faithfully, dedicates his time to the service of the king for what he was hired to do, and does not take advantage, right, of taking and using all the side benefits for his own pleasure, above and beyond that he really needs. What is the story about if you have a worker who happens to be foolish? But if it turns out that the worker has to be novel v'loy chacham, if the worker has to be someone who is novel v'loy chacham, which means that happens to be foolish, and he is not a chacham, which means lo yovin v'lo yaskel lachriso, he does not have, he fails that foresight of what's going to be at the end. And as a result, you know, he says, you know, instead of working hard enough, he'll be lazy and take more advantages, you know, of the bar and all of the situations that he has there. And the yas v'shtadl lechol v'lishtoy salonik is nafsho. Look, he says, not every day does a person have the opportunity to be in the king's palace and be able to have a hand to go and to take whatever he sees. So if this is the way he's going to conduct himself, he's going to use the opportunity, right, lechol v'lishtoy is just to involve himself in food and drinking and other types of pleasures. More the type of good things that he can find right by Be'er HaMelech, if he does that. So now, if he does it that way, so what happens now when the time of employment ends, right, the time that he was hired for ends? So Bekashe Yimlu Ayomim Yimeschore. So now when the days, the allotted time comes to an end, so now the king goes and makes the cheshbon. He goes and makes the cheshbon. The king is going to make cheshbon, and he's going to see. First of all, he's going to see. Let's see how much work you did, and also let's see how much benefit did you take on the side. So he's going to calculate. He's going to go and calculate to see the amount of food, the yimtzaloi she'ochal v'shosov v'nehena. He's going to find out that the pleasures that the worker took really exceed much more than the actual work that he performed. Which means that it turns out that he even ends up owing money to the king because he took more than he gave. And it comes out that he'll end up being mechuyev to the king. And as a result, he'll be considered a person who is among the unfaithful ones. He'll be considered to be an unfaithful person, a disloyal individual. People who waste other people's money. That's the kind of character he has actually exhibited. And destroy the people's money. So what happens is that v'yimocher bi'aradonim koshim b'bdikosoi. In such a situation, right, what happens if you owe money to the king you can't pay? So he sells you. He sells you, right, and whatever you're worth, in order to get back what's coming to him. V'yimocher bi'aradonim koshim. He may even be sold into the hands of really, really difficult masters. B'bdikosoi, because you were unfaithful, disloyal. Until the time that actually you pay the debt that you owe the king. Adyifa memenu eschoivoi. So he'll be sold for his betrayal to some unsympathetic individuals, as he says, adonim koshim, unsympathetic individuals, for the debt, right? Until the debt will be collected in full. So the Rabbi Yehoni says, Inshallah Avoida, I want you to know something. He doesn't use these words, but that's actually what he's going to say exactly. This world is an expensive hotel. This world is an expensive hotel. Whatever you take, you have to pay for it. There'll come a time, you'll have to pay for it. But if you utilize all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu grants you in this world to be able to serve Him better, right? And to be able to build the next generation, and to raise your family properly, and to be able to give tzedakah properly, and to be able to make a contribution, right? And make lives better for other people around you, then whatever you take from this world is really sound the house. That's actually what the Shah Salantu said. You know, what happens is if somebody goes, of course, go into a hotel, and at the end of the day you spend a week or two, especially if it's an expensive hotel, at the end of the day it's quite a hefty bill that you have to pay, and if you can't pay it, you know, you might be either arrested or something, or you have to do some community service, or somehow wash dishes, or whatever the situation is, you know, until you pay the debt. But if somebody is being sent on a business trip, Shah Salantu is Moshe, if you're being sent on a business trip, the tickets are, the boss pays for the tickets, right? You're working for him. He pays you for a hotel, right? It all goes on his credit card and whatever you want on the side. Why? Because everything is being given to you. Why? Because to help you, to enable you to do the mission. The question is, are you really here in this world, right? Carrying out a mission on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you are, your Baruch Hu pays for everything. But if you're not here for that reason, it's a very expensive hotel. And it ends up at the end of the day that you'll be very much in debt to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And you might find it very difficult to repay it, and it'll be too late to pay it. So these are, as I say, this is paraphrasing what Ruben Yehoni says in the next few lines. So let's take a look. Ben Yehoni says, that's what man is here in this world. It's like the worker that is hired by the king. You have the wise one and you have the foolish one. Well, that really describes two types of people here in this world as is. A person who is placed in this world is like a worker that's hired to work for his master for a limited number of days. We're only here a limited number of days. So we have here a mission to accomplish for a limited number of days. We also have to serve a master. Who's the master? The master, the ultimate master. The Smelech, Malchem, Lochem, the King of Kings, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Who is Moshe B'Gvorosei Olam. He is the most powerful king who mightily rules over the entire world. That's the kind of master that we are working for. So, okay, therefore, so now you have the righteous people, the tzaddikim. They understand the purpose of this world. They understand why they came down to this world. So they utilize every moment for the right purpose. So, okay, now tzaddikim, enem roisim lihonois min olam hazeh. The tzaddikim here, they are not interested here to partake, right, extra, right, extra pleasure and so on out of this world, Shehem Kemoya Socher, because they understand that they are here like the hired worker, and therefore what is the main focus? The main focus here is to do a job. The Ein Kavanosom, the main focus, the Kavanah Ki'im L'Kiyum HaNefesh. Of course, you have to eat, you have to drink, but the idea is you have to survive, you have to be healthy, you have to be strong. So you do everything that you have to do, and of course you should be taking that. L'Yizbriyim V'Chazokim, to be healthy and strong, Nechoinim and prepared, because you have to have a healthy God body to have a healthy neshama. So therefore, so you take whatever is necessary to keep the health and so on, lavodis beiron, to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we explained above, as he says, kash kasam nolamala. Two reasons, tzaddikim, right, understand what they have to do. Mipishnei devarim. Now the first reason is because they want to focus on the main purpose in creation. What's the main purpose of creation? That's avodis habayir, that's to serve the Creator. Hashem is the second reason why they don't want to take out of this world. It'll be deducted from the next world. Because if you take what's not belonging to you, so then there'll be a bill. There's a bill to pay. And you're going to pay it from the schar, the reward of Gan Eden, which would be coming to you, but it'll be deducted. Hashem is the second reason the tzaddikim don't want to extra, right, to take extra from this world. That they don't want to diminish the reward in the world to come. K'moshom, as we mentioned, B'moshom and Apoel, as we explained in the Moshel of the king. So I guess we have the point over here with this idea. So let's go to the sheet. We find something very fascinating, actually, that Rav Hutton pointed out. We always talk about, we try to, right, we look at how tzaddikim work, and then we say to ourselves, look, how much do we have to do to try to match up like the way that tzaddikim are? We are average people. And then, but on the other hand, we see how tzaddikim managed. And many times you ask yourself, he says, why is it that tzaddikim seemingly have it that easy? Right? And we find it to be so hard. Right? We learn it, we study about it, and we hear about the great people, and yet we find ourselves to be quite distantly removed. And we ask ourselves, what is the secret of tzaddikim? The Yamis says tzaddikim have no special secret. Let's take a look. Rav Hutton, in a very special letter to a Talmud, a very famous letter. It's famous to those who heard about it, and those who didn't hear about it, it's not that famous. So it's actually, I brought it down, it's printed a number of places. It's a sefer called Oisei Tavoid. Oisei Tavoid happens to be a sefer in Shara Avoida of Rabbeinu Yoina. And one of the present Rosh Yeshivas of Taos in Cleveland is a person named as Goldberger. And he wrote many svarim on the different sefer Musar of Rishonim, and so on and so forth. Anyway, but the point of this is, because he happens also to bring Rav Hutton's letters, so I just figured to bring it from this sefer. The Hagdama starts as follows, we see over here. Number one, the first item. Vina Aleinu L'das, we have to know, Ki Inyan Shel Nisyoinis L'Hoya Dover Miyuchil L'Yobus. First of all, when we go through, right, we learn Chumash, we find that all the tests of Rav Avinu had 10 tests, right? Yitzchak Avinu had his, Yaakov Avinu had his story, you know, here with Lavan and so on and so forth. First, you have to know it's not just the Yobus are tested, every person has his own Akedah. Every person has his own Nisyoinis, El Kolo Dem Yeshu Nisyoinis, as the Ramchal says in Perik Aleph. So therefore it means that every person really finds himself really in a milchama, living through this 70, 80, 90 years that it could go for lots of persons' world. It's a world of tension between doing the right thing or the other thing. We are actually in a state of milchama, Yetzer Hara telling you to do one thing, the Yetzer Tov telling you to do the other thing. So we are constantly, said the Ramchal, we are on a point of mitzvah milchama chazoke, ki b'chol inyon ha'olam, because anything that takes place in this world, ben l'toy ben ra, whether it's good or bad, these are nisyonos for a person. For example, if a person finds himself to be poor, it's also a big test. How you can deal with poverty? Does it mean because you're poor you're going to steal? Or because you're poor, right? Does that mean that you can have an excuse to therefore shirk other types of responsibilities? And certainly if a person has wealth, right? There's a lot of things that he's tested by. How does he deal with his wealth? What does he do with his money? Does he spend it all on himself? Is he never satisfied? And so on and so forth. So whatever the situation a man finds himself, he's always being tested in that situation. Some people are tested with in the area of wealth. Some people are tested in the idea of not having enough. The habit from him, many times a person feels, I would like to grow spiritually. And Shemayim, you hear that? Heaven puts obstacles in your way. Why? To test you to see if you're going to overcome the obstacles. So you have to jump over the fence, you know, to see if you're going to do that. Right? You can run a marathon if you really want to. So you see, you can do a lot of things. If you really want to, you do things, right? Even though it's not so easy. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu also throws certain obstacles in your way. Again, he really has a rotzen. He really likes to grow spiritually. However, heaven throws, right? The pushim that block him, his opportunity. So you have to understand that's really the Yetzer Hara creating the Sochel Das, who calls him a Kecha Yetzer Hara Mebuchutz. Chizbah who gave man a Yetzer Hara to be able to make it more difficult to see how strong you are. The Yisrael was given the power, Lahamid Odom Minasoyan, to see whether you're going to be able to overcome. The obvious Hadir Nisoyanis, man also has, no matter what the situation man finds himself. Sometimes you find yourself in a certain neighborhood, had to live in a different neighborhood would have been easier. Well, you find yourself in this neighborhood. Right? On the other hand, a different neighborhood has different type of Nisoyanis. There's also different tests. Whatever the situation is, so man has Nisoyanis. Now, so here comes now what we're really looking for. V'chein aleinu l'das, ki haderech la'alois b'teira, no one should imagine that the climb spiritually does not involve, right, does not involve effort and work and tension to overcome the stumbling blocks. No one should ever imagine that it's easy. It all has to do with ma'avikim. Ma'avikim means that they're wrestling. You have to wrestle. Right? V'chsholim. Obstacles. Nefilas, yes, you fall also. Instead of going higher, you fall down. Just every step forward, sometimes it's two steps backward. Colossians calls it, the Pesuk says in Mishlei, it says there, Ki sheva yipol tzadik vekom. A tzadik even falls seven times and he gets up once. A tzadik, you say, tzadik, why is it tzadik? He never falls. Not true. A tzadik might fall even seven times, but he gets up at the end. So, ukedai, it's very worthwhile, l'cholechot, l'ilmoid, esigeres, agoyin, revisa, chutna, zatzal. That's where we want to get to, these few lines. Actually, the letter is longer, but just to make the point. Rav Huta Rosh Yeshiva, of course, of Chaim Berlin, in Sefer Pachad Yitzchok, there is a volume, it's called Igros Uksovim. And it happens to be the Igeres Kuf Chav Ches, the 128th letter. A lot of letters there. So in this letter, Rav Huta writes the following. He writes to a Talmud. And for Nati Khan, we're going to copy here a little bit. Chelik min amichtav l'tielis arabim. So for the benefit of the public, so we're going to copy, he says, Zelosher, and this is what the letter writes. Rav Huta now quotes Rav Huta. Rav Huta is the following. Rochoylohi. It's a terrible attitude. It's a terrible attitude at Sleinu. It's a terrible attitude that we have. It's an attitude that, by the way, it's a painful attitude. It's a painful attitude that we have. Shekashi misaskimonu. Because when we talk about B'tzadodei Ashleim Meshigadot, when we talk about the great people that we have, it's a terrible attitude because we look at the end result. We see them as tzaddikim. We see them as top tzaddikim. And therefore we somehow think that they were born as tzaddikim. They were always born righteous. But this is a big mistake. When they were born, they were not born tzaddikim. They were born like each and every one of us, like everyone. Except they became tzaddikim because they put their mind to set themselves a goal, what they'd like to reach, and they did not stop and did not allow anything to get into the way until they succeeded. Which basically means is that instead of looking at the end result, let's understand that every tzaddik really went through his own tensions and his own situations and all the obstacles, but you don't see that, and therefore being that you look at the end result, you think that the tzaddik had it easy. And Rav Huta said that's a big mistake that you're making, because then you're separating yourself from ever believing that you can reach a high spiritual level, because I don't think tzaddik had it good, had it easy. That's a painful mistake. It's a painful mistake because you pay a price for thinking that way. By the way, when this is one of the things that when you read many of the books on Gedol Yisrael, you know, they start talking about everything great. And they sort of like they take out or they don't bother to publish, you know, the downfalls that they had and the necessities that they had and the difficulties that they had. So therefore you say to yourself, well, these are especially, you know, hand-picked people. And therefore we have no shyness even to imagine to come close to them. But the truth is, Shara Yipo Tzadik become, the Tzadik will fall seven times. To come. But we'll see another insight even more into that, into those words. The idea is, says Rav Huta further, basically we're always busy, we always look at the bottom line. This tzaddik is high up there. That tzaddik is up there. We're always busy with the bottom line. The Sapramono, we always relate when we talk about a tzaddik, we always talk about al-darki ashleim mishalem. We talk about the completion. But we skip over al hamavek apnimi. You don't know the inner turmoil that every tzaddik might have had before he reached, right, the level that he reached. We skip over that. We skip over hamavek apnimi, the inner tension, which really was inside the neshama. You don't know the torment that the soul of this tzaddikim went through. Horoshim, he says, the impression, Shasichoseinu alak doilim, the impression when we talk about Gedol Miskabel, ki ilu yotsu tachas yada yotsu, when we talk about Gedol, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, like a cookie cutter, because Baruch Hu, he formed him straight as a tzaddik. This man was formed, because Baruch Hu turned him into a tzaddik. That's the impression we have. As if he came out of the head, it's like out of a factory, because Baruch Hu produces tzaddikim. So they both produce all types of people. Some of the people he produces are tzaddikim. That's what we imagine. Is that they came out of the Yotzer, out of the Creator, because most of them will be. The way you see them now, that's the way they came from the hands of the Creator. Hakol Mesorichim, everybody always talks, the conversation, Mispo'alim, right? Mamish Mispo'alim, we become so, like, excited, and Umerimim Al-Nes, and we bring out, it's the Harus Eloshin Shochavitz Chaim. Oh, that's a good muscle. Right? Everybody speaks about, who is the biggest tzaddik in Loshin Hara, Chavitz Chaim? You probably say to yourself, Chavitz Chaim probably never even wanted to speak Loshin Hara. That's what you say to yourself. Probably Chavitz Chaim didn't have a desire to speak Loshin Hara, to slander anybody. How can a person be so pure, right, be so distant from Loshin Hara, from slander? Probably Chavitz Chaim, he just didn't have a tendency to do that. Said Rahut, you're making a mistake. Think of the Chofetz Chaim. Avoni Yodea, no one knows, he says. Avoni Yodea, but who can know Mikol HaMilchomos? How do you know all the inner wars within himself? Hamaafkim, the wrestling, the mechsholim, the obstacles, the nefilas, and the setbacks Chofetz Chaim may have had. Hanefilas, and the nisyonis, he says, La'ocha in the past, Shemotza Chofetz Chaim b'derech ha'melchome shaloyim Yisraelah. What is this? Can you imagine? You'll never know it. But the Chofetz Chaim, very, very shaykh, also went through all of these, says, all the various tensions. Marshal Echad Minialif, he said, that's just one marshal of thousands. As you pick in the Chofetz Chaim, because the Chofetz Chaim is a very easy marshal to pick on. No one imagined the Chofetz Chaim ever had trouble keeping, right, the mitzvah of abstaining from Torah. Probably to him it's the easiest thing in the world, Chofetz Chaim. So I've heard you make a mistake. You don't see the Chofetz Chaim when he's the Chofetz Chaim. You don't see the Chofetz Chaim when he went through to become the Chofetz Chaim. You don't see the Chofetz Chaim to understand the possible mechomes he had within himself, to be able to control himself. And to be able to reach a point, yes, at the end result was we already reached that point. He's a Chofetz Chaim, and therefore he has no leanings towards Lashon Hara anymore. But you don't know the road, or the difficult road, and the bumpy road that the Chofetz Chaim himself had to travel on before he became the Chofetz Chaim, he says. For this is just a mortal one. So Rav Huttner is writing to a Talmud, because the Talmud wrote to Rav Huttner the terrible problems he had with his Yetzer Hara. And it could be in all areas of life. You know, Yetzer Hara does not discriminate. There's all types of areas of life where people have Yetzer Haras, and people have weaknesses, and they fall, they slip. So Rav Huttner is telling us, falling is not something that's limited only to simple people. Great people also fall. I should use maybe a different type of a phrase which really depicts it very well. It was a very chosh of a Rav who was Nifted Young in London. He once say, says, it's not, he says, it's not an indictment for a person to be imperfect. It's not an indictment, but it's an indictment for a person who wishes to remain imperfect. That's an indictment. That's the idea. Everybody's imperfect. But the indictment is to wish to remain imperfect. That is, you should lose that desire to move on. So Rav Huttner is writing to this Talmud. He says, all the problems that you have a Yetzer Hara. He says, you have it. But realize that that does not mean that therefore that you therefore are prone to stay that way or to cement yourself or nail yourself to that situation. The dial in Novin Shekamoyzch Chotzenov, says Rav Huttner to the Talmud, to someone who is a sensible person like yourself. He's writing us a letter. From one example from the Chofetz Chaim he gave you, you can now generalize to others as well. He says, the outcome of what I'm telling you is, when a young man, right, basically has spiritual ideas, he has ambitions, right? He has ambitions. He will find himself intentions that block his road. Yeah, because his desire is also to go the other way. So his mind tells him, he sets goals in one direction, but then there's always, as we say, there's a tension between the intellect and the emotion. The head says, this is what we should be doing, and then the emotion says, I'll do something else. He says, this is not uncommon. This is the way of the world for everyone, he says. This is the way of the world of anyone, he says. And therefore, the teksoi is, you're going to have, he says, mechsholim, you have nefilas, you have yiridus. And Arayu Doyme Beinov, and a person thinks, Kibilti Shosel Beis Hashem, when he sees, he says, how can I be thinking about all these bad things? How can I be involved? So he said that means that he's automatically cut out from ever having a connection ever again with purity. It's not true. He says, because this person thinks that in order to grow spiritually, it has to come easy. So being that he finds it hard, he says, no, I'm not cut out for this, because I find it hard. It's a mistake, he says. It's a mistake. Because according to the imagination of this young person, he thinks that Leah Shosel Bebeis Hashem. He thinks that in order to be planted in the house of Hashem, that means to be able to sit there, you know, comfortably, without any, right, without any Yesahar fighting him without any problems, sitting there b'shalvas nefesh, in tranquility, in comfort, on the oizdesha, as it seems to say, in green pastures, shomei menucha is right, which we have, the beautiful stream on the side, and only to have hanor from his yetzer toiv, like tzadikim, anehenim, as if ashkin, and so on and so forth. Says that's not true. Because the sight of a person is to understand everyone undergoes tension. So look on this side. Turn the sheet on side number three for a moment. Turn the sheet on the side, number three. This is a Hemsher. Aval Dalo Chavivi. I want you to know he's Chavivi, he says. He calls him Chavivi. Like, speaks to him very fondly, with love. The Shorish of Neshama, he says, is not the comfort of the Yetzer Tov. The Shorish of the Neshama is not the comfort, Loi Hashal Vishal Yetzer Tov. El Davke, the Mechoma that the Yetzer Tov has with the Yetzer Hara. He says, your dear letter that you're writing to me, which is so this excited letter, he says, the Meir Kimei Edim, he says, that testifies to me as if 100 witnesses. Your letter testifies to me. I see take that you are take fighting. You're trying to fight for the side of the Yetzer Tov. But you're worried about it, he says, because many times you're unsuccessful. So he says, "Bevada ishin cho nichshul va'oymed liyas nichshul." You are nichshul, you fall, and you are oymed liyas nichshul. It's going to happen again. By the way, Buddha says, "Ein b'zeh b'shem psiches pelasotin." The fact that I say you're going to be nichshul again is not b'zeh pelasotin. That's a fact. Whether I say it or not, you're going to fall again. You're going to rise. You're going to fall again, over and over again. He says, "Ubekame marochos," and in many of the wars with your yetzer hara, you're going to lose. But I promise you, at the end, you're going to win. That's the punchline. At the end, you're going to win. But kama marocha is tipul shodud. You're going to find yourself, mamish, you're lost. He says, but I promise you, shala'achahef, that for all the losing battles that you lost with the Yetzer Hara, right? After losing kola marocha, is all the words that you've lost, teitzeim in amolchama, kishigzeh hanisochin aloshcha, you're going to have the crown of victory be placed on your head. Just don't give up. Just keep doing it. And then he quotes the pasuk, "Hachochem kol adam," right? The wisest of all men, Shlomo HaMelech said, "Sheva yipol tzadik v'kom." Now, what does that mean? Seven times the tzadik falls, right? Seven times the tzadik falls, right? Is temporary, and then he gets up. So people think the way it works like this. What he's telling us is that, in spite of the fact that the tzadik fell seven times, he'll get up at the end. It's much deeper than that. In order, he says, to rise, you have to fall seven times. Not in spite of falling seven times, you're still going to be able to come. But the way that growth works is, you're going to have nephilis. Seven times even, you're going to have nephilis. And that itself, the experience, the nephil experience, and overcoming it, that's going to give you the power to really to grow to the highest level. So here he points out, here he explains it. He says, the foolish people think that Shlomo HaMelech is saying, he's telling you a chiddush, that even if you fall seven times, you still can come up. Said, in other words, Apple Pisha Shavi Yipul Tzadik, even if the Tzadik falls seven times, Shlomo HaMelech is telling us, don't despair, Makom Kumakom. The Chachomim understand that's not what it means. It doesn't mean even if you fall. Yes, because you fell so often and you still persevered, that is the strength that you're going to have to grow. That's going to give you to grow. The Chachomim Yoidim Hated. The Chachomim understand Shakavona here, that the true Kavona is Shemehus Hakim Eshel Tzadik. The way that the Tzadik stands up is through the Nefila. Is Derech Hashem and Nefila. So that's the road of Kima, the road of the rising. The road of right is through the Nefila. Yes, except the downfall. On the Pasuk it says, when Hashem, right in the beginning of creation, Hashem saw everything that he did was good. What's everything? Everything. What's everything? Toiv ma'oiv. What does Chazal say? Toiv za yetzer toiv, ma'oiv za yetzer hara. How's the yetzer hara toiv ma'oiv? Because it's because of the tension, because of the mechomas. So therefore a person was able, right, to exercise his muscles, because he had to overcome, right, all the spiritual downfalls. And he kept rising up over and over again. That strengthened spiritual muscles, and that really brought him all the way, to the top. So that's really the inyan that we see. So when we keep learning about Rabban Yoni here, you know, the greatness of how people continue to grow, and we say to ourselves, oh, these are the ways of tzaddikim, how far removed we are. Again, Rav Huna tells us, even the Chofetz Chaim, the saintly Chofetz Chaim, one never knows really all the turmoil that he had to go through in order to do it. Just one more small liquid, another 2 minutes, and that is, we had here, the Rabban Yoni started today, and he quoted the pasuk, which means to say that whatever you do for the service of Hashem, which means that whatever a person does, do it in order to enable you, right, enable you to serve Hashem better. You should be healthy to serve Hashem better. Right? Hashem gives you all the wherewithal. Hashem gives you, whether it's wealth, whatever. Do positive things. Do it to serve Hashem better. There's another interpretation, whatever you do, be mindful of Hashem. Again, the simple understanding is, whatever you do, do it for the purpose of serving Hashem. Rabbi Yoni, here we have on the left side, you have number four. Rabbi Yoni says in Mishle, on the Pasuk, b'chol drachecha da'eyu, whatever you do, think of Hashem. You know what it means? Whenever you make a decision in life, what you determine and what you should ask yourself, when I do the following, is Hashem going to come out ahead, or am I going to be desecrating Hashem's name? That's what it means. Is whatever you do, always make that cheshbon. The next step that I take in life, where is Hashem going to be in the equation? Is Hashem going to come out ahead? Right? Is going to sanctify Hashem's name? It can be a Kiddush Hashem. B'chol drachecha, whatever you do, da'eyu. Remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also is going to be involved. His reputation. Either you make Hashem exalted, or the downfall. And that's why it's an extra special obligation when you find people who look Jewish and are Jewish, that they should do things which really are ethical. Because that's a reflection, really, of the people, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's people. And it's not just all about himself. It's really casting a whole reflection of what Hashem is all about. You're going to make a Kiddush Hashem, or, and that's what the Yen is saying. B'chol drachecha, whatever you do in all your ways, da'eyu. B'tchilas kol maise, toshe v'alipcho. Toshe, pay attention, im yesh derech ovoin v'cheit b'maise. Is there some sort of a sin involved in what you're doing? Al tasena, don't do it. Achis balecho, until you can come clear. Ki hu rotsu lifnei Hashem izbarach, that this is appropriate for Hashem. So it means that a major factor to take in the equation, whether you're going to do something, is where is Hashem going to come out? Is it going to be a Kiddush Hashem or the other ways? If a person conducts himself that way, then Bez Hashem, so Kosh Baruch Hu will give all the bracha and all the aslocha, the pre-attack and the actions that we do, and Bez Hashem will be certain to clean to do more mitzvahs and end up as the player of the chokham, that we will have our full schar that is coming to us also.